You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, Pelicans fans. Hopefully you're all feeling a little bit better today than the team is itself after suffering a 96-89 loss on the road to Atlanta, a game that wasn't really as close as the final score indicates. I'm your host of Locked On Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, Jake Madison, writer for bourbonstreetshots.com, at NolaJake on Twitter. We're going to cover the game and recap it all for you in case you weren't able to watch it on NBA TV last night. We'll cover the good, the bad. Are there questions raised from this game? Is there really anything to take away from this with how depleted the Pelicans were? Are they ready for opening night? Do they need to tweak this lineup a little bit? We'll talk about all of that today on the Wednesday edition of Locked On Pelicans. So I've said all preseason, it's tough to really get a feel for this team and read in too much to what they're trying to do as a whole, and that's particularly on the defensive side. Offensively, you've seen them kind of doing what they want to do, where there's more ball movement, more assists being given out, and a lot of that has to do with Tim Frazier. But preseason, with this many injuries to guys like Holiday, who's out taking care of his wife, who, by the way, is having surgery tomorrow, so everyone keep them in your thoughts for sure. Holiday's out. Evans is still out. Quincy Pondexter's out, though. I don't know if you can really factor him in after missing all of last season. Anthony Davis is now missing time. And, of course, to top it off, the icing on the cake, the cherry on top of everything here is Alvin Gentry was out last night's game as well. Assistant coach Darren Erman took the reins and was in charge of the team and led them out there. He had, I think it was a stomach issue, something like that, where he wasn't able to go. That's how bad this is. You've got to start fearing for, you know, writers and everyone else, the PR staff with the team, wondering if they're going to be injured very soon. I'm personally scared to go to opening night because I don't want to get kind of caught up in this and get injured in some capacity. But so it's tough to make, you know, a ton of sense and a ton of cohesion with this team and try and pull meaning out of what you're seeing right now. So you got to keep that kind of a grain of salt. Also, it's preseason. That doesn't necessarily translate over to the regular season, but usually if you're not seeing something entirely, you're not going to see it during the regular season. And on the defensive side of the ball, that's a bit worrisome for the Pelicans right now. So like I said before, the score was 96-89 for the Pelicans, though they were down by as much as 23 at one point. Halftime, it was looking ugly. It looked like, hey, maybe the best part of this game is no one else is getting injured, even though Gentry was out at that time. It was just not good overall for the Pelicans. Atlanta had their full complement of players. They basically approached this more or less until this game got out of hand as a regular season game. They were playing their starters, playing their proper rotation guys, and it showed. This is kind of a ragtag group of Pelicans right now, just because, again, you're missing four potential starters in Davis, Holiday, Pondexter, Evans. What are you supposed to do? You don't want injuries to be an issue every single year, but at a certain point, just what is going on here? And unfortunately, you can't really move those guys for pieces that stay healthy right now. So that's a lot of the issue with this game. Pel shot just very poorly overall on the night. You know, some nights it's a make or miss league, and there's very little you're going to be able to do when you're shooting 38.8% from the field overall. They shot through the first three quarters only 34%. They shot 29.2% from three. They were 7 of 24. Buddy Hield himself was 0 for 6 from there. Langston Galloway was 2 from 6. Terrence Jones, 2 from 5. Solomon Hill was a little bit better in 2 of 4. But overall, these guys weren't shooting particularly great from three. They weren't, you know, lighting it up. And when you get that far down in a game by as much as 23 at a certain point, you kind of feel a little bit more pressure to shoot three-pointers. And if you're not able to connect on those, it just kind of compounds the fact, and it's going to make things a little bit worse. You know, Atlanta played a little bit better, not a ton. They only shot 41.9% from the line, 28.6% from three. But overall, they were just in control of this game, and a lot of that has to do with just the talent disparity here. Pelicans basically had no answer for a guy like Dwight Howard, and we're going to touch on the centers and how poorly they played in a moment. But basically, this was just a disaster for the Pelicans. There was nothing they were going to be able to do. Hopefully, Anthony Davis should be able to go on Monday night. Opening night. The Hawks announcer seemed to think that if this was a regular season game, he would play. Etuan Moore was also out. That's a big shooter for the Pelicans. If it was a regular season game, he would have played. So you're getting two guys back that would have significantly improved their chances for a win and the quality of play on the court. But those guys weren't there, and we need to talk about what we saw in the play on the court in this game that happened last night. So what are some of the bad things that I've kind of just immediately noticed about? And there's really not a whole lot of good to talk about, though. I'll touch on one or two things. One of the first things that jumped out if you watch this game is the Pelicans rebounding. They only grabbed 72.5% of defensive rebounding opportunities, basically. And I talked about this 2 weeks ago. I said, who's really going to be a good rebounder on this team outside of Anthony Davis? Terrence Jones historically isn't a tremendous rebounder. You really can't rely on Omer Asik or Alexei Ajinsa. They're just too much of a liability at times to be on the court. 72.5% defensive rebounding percentage. Not great. It led to 13 second chance points for Atlanta. You know, I said you want to see the Pelicans get closer to 80%. That's probably a big stretch, but if they can get up to, say, 77%, 5% more than what they have now, they're going to really limit opponents' chances, make those defensive stops count. This team is really focusing on defense. Don't give second chance opportunities. Simple. Don't crash the offensive boards. That's not what they're trying to do, but crash the defensive glass. However, without Anthony Davis and with Dwight Howard out there, who grabbed 4 offensive rebounds himself, there's just not a whole lot that the Pelicans were going to be able to do. Certain teams are going to play better against. And, you know, this is one of the areas that raises more questions than answers. And, you know, right now these questions aren't very good. It's who's going to step up and do this. And if they're not able to, Pelicans defense is still going to be in for a long season. They're much better in transition, but in the half court, they either get murdered by perimeter play or they give up offensive rebounds and they, you know, have to start fresh again. And usually when a team grabs an offensive board, it's a little bit chaotic down there. Pelicans, who aren't great at communicating on defense, don't have time to rotate over, adjust, and figure out who needs to go where. And if this keeps going on, this is going to be a long season, and all that talk and all the onus they've put on defense isn't going to help them out at all. Keeping in with a similar idea to rebounding, there's going to be points in the paint for Atlanta. They put up 46 last night, and that's not exactly a surprise given Anthony Davis wasn't playing and the Hawks have kind of a rejuvenated Dwight Howard here. Omer Asik and Alexei Ajinsa are absolutely no match for Howard. They combined for 7 fouls in a combined 30 minutes. I mean, come on now. You know, that's already fouling out over a game for a guy, you know, for two guys who aren't playing combined starters minutes. You're just not going to get it done that way. They gave up 14 offensive rebounds total. Howard had 4 himself. This team needs someone who's going to be kind of a stalwart in the paint. We thought it might be Omer Asik when he was brought in a couple of years ago for that first round pick, but he really hasn't been. He fouls too much. He's not there. And, you know, this is why this team needs Anthony Davis on the court. You need a guy to at least can maybe make a play from behind, something like that. There's no one else on this team that can do it. And against dominant centers, I think this team's really going to struggle. You saw it last night with Dwight Howard posting a very good line. He got to the free throw line, I think it was 10 times, only made 4 of them. Otherwise, this game would have been even uglier. But, you know, giving up that many fouls, sending a guy to the line that much, it's going to be a recipe for disaster moving forward. Something else I mentioned a few weeks ago that still really hasn't been answered, though you're starting to see, you know, this is where we get out of the pure bad and into the maybe good, into that middle section here, is free throws. I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, saying who is the guy who's going to go to the line other than Anthony Davis? There's no one really consistent enough to do it. Pelicans attempted 20 free throw attempts last night. You know, 5 came from Terrence Jones, 4 came from Solomon Hill. Solomon Hill's kind of shown that if you match him up with, say, the opponent's worst defender, he can actually punish him and make him pay. You don't really want him being a playmaker, creating anything like that. But if he can be just that spot-up 3-point shooter who keeps the ball moving, get it out of his hands if he's not open, which he's shown, you know, a tendency to do, and then, you know, take advantage of good situations. He's a very smart guy. That's one of the keys here. His basketball IQ is really going to help this team. He knows when to attack the rim, when to try and do a little bit more than what his role is in the offense, and he picks his spots particularly well. Been happy to see that out of him. Getting the line 4 times, hey, that's just a bonus. There's really no one on this Pelicans team, like I said, outside of Anthony Davis, especially while Holiday's not in the lineup and Tyreke Evans is injured, that can do that. They can get some free throw generation from other players. It's really going to help them. Terrence Jones is really making this case for big minutes on this team. Going to the line 5 times. He's shooting decently well from 3. He was 2 of 5 this past night. Yeah, we're going to probably talk about this tomorrow. This is going to be one of my big topics. He's potentially making a case to be a starter for opening night and seeing 30-something minutes a game, which, frankly, for a guy they signed for $1.1 million who's kind of on the garbage heap and rejects of NBA players, isn't what you'd exactly want. And you've got to be nervous if he can keep up this level of play throughout the season. But he's showing that he can play well, and he can definitely help this offense going forward. We've got to talk about Tim Frazier and the Tim Frazier bandwagon that I've really been on this offseason and in the preseason so far. He did not have a great game last night. He did basically everything wrong that you don't want him to do wrong. He had four turnovers. He's the type of guy, if they want to keep this offense afloat, really can't turn the ball over, kill offensive possessions, end up with empty trips on that side of the court. He needs to play in control, get the ball to the guys who are going to be the shooters, get it to Anthony Davis. And of course, not having Anthony Davis or each one more definitely hurts him, but he needs to play in control. You know, I've been high on this guy for this offseason, and at the end of last year I really liked him a lot. For the national preview on the Locked On NBA podcast, which probably is going to drop today or tomorrow, I said he's the guy on the Pelicans who's most likely kind of going to change how you thought of him from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. I don't think he's a starter by any means, really. I think he can maybe help them weather the storm. As I said, that's been my phrase when it comes to him. But I think by the end of the season, you're going to be quite happy with him as your starting backup point guard, and running that second unit and kind of pulling the strings for them. You know, right now, if he's being asked to do too much in the starting lineup, he doesn't look good. The four turnovers are really bad. They really need to cut that down. The other thing was, defensively, he does kind of hurt you. He had four fouls. He needs to be just in more control. He picked up a tech at one point. This overall was just not a good game for him. It was only 1-4 from the field. The assist numbers were down for him, though they've been exceptionally high, so he was probably posting about league average or so right there. But he needs to be in control a little bit more. Just do what he does well and not, you know, create too much or take on too much of a burden. There's going to be other guys for that. You know, unfortunately for him, there just really wasn't, you know, a ton today around him in terms of players. Anthony Davis not being there, like I said, Etwan Moore not being there. And that's going to hurt his numbers and things like that. But he needs to cut those turnovers down. That was one of my big worries about him coming into this season. And it looked like through the beginning of preseason, he actually did, you know, control the ball better, make smarter decisions. He sees the court really well. So hopefully, you know, he rebounds from this game and it's just a one game aberration here. So we're actually going to talk about something good and something happy here. And I think you're all going to think I'm a bit nuts when I say this, but one of my kind of highlights of the night was actually Buddy Hield. Even though he went 5 of 15 from the field for 33%, of course, and was 0-6 from three-point range, he still actually showed me something, and that was more on the defensive end. He stayed home on defense, didn't really get burned a ton, and on switches, he stayed in front of Dennis Schroeder, who's pretty quick and can get to the rim. And staying in front of that guy for kind of a flat-footed, slower Buddy Hield, I think is a pretty great thing for him and to see. I know this Pelicans front office really thought his defense was much better than scouts and, you know, the national NBA media gave him credit for. And this was a guy they thought could come in and not necessarily be a negative on that side of the ball. Most people know him for his shooting. They know his defense his senior year at Oklahoma wasn't particularly great. But you've got to go back. This was a four-year starter, and his junior year, I watched a lot of the game film from them, was actually pretty outstanding. You got to wonder if maybe his senior year, when he was asked to do a whole lot more and carry the brunt of that offense and be that main shooter, the main guy, tired him out on the defensive end, made it a little bit harder for him to defend as capably as he, you know, is able to. So it was nice to see him stay home, really play kind of solid defense. And, you know, again, that's the Pelicans' focus this year. That's one of the reasons they drafted him, was they really thought he could do a good job there. I think it's truly one of the reasons they picked him over Murray, who went a pick later at 7 to the Denver Nuggets. He was asked to do a little bit more than he normally would be in a regular season game tonight. Healthy, he doesn't need as many shots. He's not going to be taking 15 a game. I think he knows his role is to come in, be that spot-up shooter, attack the rim when a lane presents itself. Tonight, having him try and do a little bit more and get through some of these growing pains earlier during the preseason than he might have to go through them during the regular season, I think is going to be a good thing for him overall. You know, if he has a bad shooting night, he's a rookie. It's going to happen. I like that he still is willing to shoot. He doesn't get in his head and stop shooting. Shooter's going to shoot, and you got to shoot out of a slump, and that's what he's trying to do. So I was happy to see that from him. So he's definitely one of my highlights, of the poor game from last night. Another one was transition defense. The Pelicans limited the Hawks doing that. You know, the Pelicans aren't great defenders overall. They've improved some by adding the right guys this offseason, right guys we hope, and we'll see as the season goes on. But transition defense, you know, it's one of the easier ways opponents can score on you. And the Pelicans just try and limit those opportunities. And they do that by forgoing offensive rebounds and just sending people back. Once someone shoots, everyone kind of runs back, gets set, so you don't get caught out on a fast break. The opponent isn't going to have a man advantage. You get set and you play defense smarter that way. The Warriors do it. The Spurs do it. A lot of teams do it. It's kind of standard practice almost in the NBA now. And they did that against the Hawks. The Hawks had the eighth highest pace last season, so they like to play fast, get in a lot of possessions, get those quick buckets. And the Pelicans limited them last night, which was great to see. You want that to be the case. You don't want the Pelicans to give up easy points. Atlanta scored only 4 fast break points total. Pelicans actually had 16 themselves. So that's a nice little stat for you right there. So it shows there's improvement happening on the defense. There's areas that are working right. They're just waiting for it as a whole to come together. So tough game for the Pelicans overall, though there are some good things we saw out of this. They got the next game against Orlando coming up. Their final preseason game before opening the season a week from today at the Smoothie King Center. It should be a lot of fun. I will be there. I hope you will all be there as well. We'll have a lot more leading up to that. Got another great, you know, rest of the week of podcasts coming for you before we start really diving into the regular season stuff starting on Monday next week. So I'm excited about all of that. Thank you all for listening to Locked On Pelicans. I'm Jake Madison, writer for bourbonstreetshots.com, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Please share the podcast with your friends. Subscribe to it on iTunes or Audio Boom. Tweet at me any questions you have. I'd love to answer any. I enjoy answering those on the podcast. And this has been a lot of fun. And thanks for listening and enjoy your Wednesday.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.